King David said this in Psalm 145, verse 4, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." What a great word. And that is our focus today on Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're going to talk about one generation speaking to another generation and declaring God's mighty acts and giving words of wisdom to the next generation about life and about specifically marriage and family. I am joined in the studio today by my lovely wife, Debbie. Debbie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Jeffrey.
Yes, well, it's wonderful to have you. It's always great to have Debbie here, and she makes a huge difference in my life and ministry because she has wisdom I don't have, and she has gifts and talents and strengths and abilities that I don't have, and so together we're much more effective in ministry and in life than we are apart. So we had an experience. We went to Houston last weekend to celebrate my grandson Jack's first birthday. And it was a great time with Amy and Travis and my oldest daughter Jill and Jay and her kids. Emmy and Lyndon were there, and my youngest daughter Sarah flew in from Little Rock. And we just had a great time together. Travis's parents were there. And one of the things that Amy and Travis asked us to do, they teach a Sunday school class at First Baptist Houston for young marrieds. And they said, Mom and Dad, what if you came in and you talked to our class and we just had them submit questions. And then we ask you these questions that that they had, you know, had on their hearts. And you guys just answer, and it'll be just a Q&A and kind of extemporaneous and just a time where you can share from 36 years of experience, you can share what has happened in your life and how you would do things differently if you were to go back, and what pearls of wisdom you could share with us. So Debbie, how did you like doing that with their class?
It was super fun. The one thing though that I was thinking about, even as you were describing it, it's like, how did we get here where we are the ones that are this far into it that we're giving advice? It's gone by so quickly. So I think that's one thing that we didn't necessarily mention this past Sunday, but it goes by fast. Because here we are.
Here we are. And we still like to think of ourselves as young.
I know, right? And we see ourselves as young, but maybe we don't see ourselves right.
Maybe not. We both turned 60 just in the last month and a half.
It's the new 40, though. That's what I'm convinced of.
Yeah, I'm not so convinced of that. I think everything hurts.
Well, so Nerds age better, so I feel real good.
Yeah, Debbie likes to tell me that nerds age better. So she didn't play sports in high school and growing up, and I played a lot of sports, and now all my joints hurt.
Yeah, nerds just age better. We just don't have all those aches and pains, and everything's good.
So anyway, in the program today, we want to share with you some of the questions that Amy and Travis's group had asked us. Now, they teach a class of 20s and 30s. These are young couples, been married maybe a year to 3 years, something like that, just starting out, just having kids, and we were remembering what it was like. It's a lot harder today to raise
so
kids
much harder
than it was back in the 80s when we were raising kids, but still the principles from God's word still apply. And so we want to go through some of those questions that we were asked by their class, and we think that maybe that will help you as a mom or a dad, even if you're older in life as we are, and you can still apply these things to your grandchildren and to make a difference for the Lord. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So this was the first question out of the box. How do you balance your time between investing in your personal walk with the Lord and investing in spiritual intimacy as a married couple?
Right, and we talked about just right off the bat how important it is to make sure that both husband and wife are leaning into the Lord, seeking to grow in their relationship with the Lord, because as that happens, as they're both going in the same direction vertically in terms of deepening their love for the Lord, growing in obedience to the Lord, growing in knowledge of the Lord, you grow closer to each other. And just the importance of making sure that that's a priority in your marriage as well as in your personal life.
Yeah, so Debbie had introduced me to this idea of an A-frame marriage versus an H-framed marriage. An A-frame, you know what the letter A looks like. That's where the Lord is at the top of the apex, and you're both in marriage seeking the Lord. And when you seek the Lord, then you're moving together in the Lord. And so those things are not the question, how do you balance your time between investing in your personal walk with the Lord and investing in spiritual intimacy as a married couple? You can do both at the same time,
right?
Because you seek the Lord together. And one of the things in marriage that couples don't do that they need to do, and sadly this is even true for so many pastors and people in ministry, they don't pray together as a couple. They pray separately, obviously, but they don't pray together. And maybe they don't read the Bible together. They don't go through a couple's devotional together. And so their spiritual time is really isolated from their just togetherness time. And those things need to be mixed together. You don't have to pray with your spouse for an hour a day, but you can pray with your spouse, even if it's short. Just pray with your spouse. And especially guys, let me encourage you, as the husband, see, the husband is called by God to be the head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church. And what does that mean? That means you're the leader. You're the spiritual leader of the home, and you're the spiritual leader of your wife. And the irony in spiritual leadership is your wife will fight you for that. Genesis chapter 3, your desire shall be for your husband. It's one of the results of the fall. It's not a desire physically. It's a desire to control him. And so there is this struggle in a woman to want to be in control. But listen, men, God has called us to be the head. And so I would encourage you as couples, and you take the lead, to set the tone and pray for your wife, especially in the morning. Pray that God would bless her day. Put your hands on her shoulder and just tell her that you love her, and lift her up to the Lord for the things that will happen that day. And it just makes a woman feel protected. It makes her feel like my husband is really in tune with me, and my husband is leading me. And so, Debbie, when you feel like that as a woman, that you have a protective cover, and a man that's calling your name before the Lord, how does that make you feel?
Well, there's a lot of strength and security that comes from that. And, you know, biblically, there's really only two people that can cover a woman in protection, and that's her dad when she's living under his roof, and then that's her husband. And so, men, it's so important that you do that, that you step up to the plate, that you get rid of any passivity, and that you step up and that you really do that, because that's a way that you nurture us, that's a way that you cherish us, and we desperately long for that. We don't thrive when we don't have that. And I know another thing that we talked about in terms of this particular question was the importance of together being engaged in community with other like-minded believers. So being involved in a church and not being isolated. Satan loves nothing more than to get people isolated away from the church, get people isolated in their marriage. He's all about isolation. And I think that's one of the major negative effects that we have seen in the church as a result of COVID and distancing and shutting down and all these other things. I mean, that was Satan's playground. And he really used that in such a dramatic way to keep people isolated, to keep people out of the habit of coming to church and engaging with other people, because we were not designed to live alone. We were designed for community, other people to hold us accountable, other people to encourage us, other people to share life with. And I think that's how we can grow in our spiritual intimacy as a couple, as well as just individually, because iron sharpens iron. So to be with other believers that can encourage us and urge us on and, you know, point out things that they see that maybe where we're going astray or whatever it may be, I think that's super, super important.
Yeah, and you know, I tell people this at our membership class. Listen, coming to church is great, and being a member of the church is critical. If you're not a member of a local church, you're like a bee without a hive. You're an orphan. It's not good. We need one another. But here's the thing about church: if you're not involved in a small group, so First Baptist Texarkana, we are set up to have Sunday morning Bible study classes, Sunday school classes, age graded and age and stage in life kind of set up that way. And why is that so important? Because it's important for community. In church, in the church service, you're a face in the crowd. And there's not the community like there is in a small group where you can really talk and share and get to know one another and
just do life together.
Right. And so like Amy and Travis's class, you have just a bunch of young couples that are in there that are going through the same things, the struggles of finances when you're young, the struggles of babies when you're young, the struggle of just marriage adjustments because you just got married, you know, a month ago or 6 months ago or 2 years ago, and you're still in the, you know, in that phase of kind of finding your rhythm. And so that is very, very important. To be involved, not just in church, but in a small group of believers that will hold you accountable and help you grow. So the second question they asked us is, what is your advice for fighting against spiritual complacency in your marriage?
Jeff, I'm gonna put that back to you.
Okay, so it's easy, first of all, it's easy to get complacent. And one of the things we told the class, and this is so true, marriage is kind of a microcosm of a person's relationship with Jesus. Because marriage is not static, it's dynamic, it's up and down, it can be good in the morning and not good in the afternoon. It doesn't just stay the same. Just like your relationship with the Lord doesn't stay the same. Either you're growing or you're declining, but no one is staying the same. Why? Because the narrow road that leads to life has a current of the world going against it. And if you are not moving forward against the current, it's going to be pushing you backward. And so we're either growing closer to the Lord or we're growing further apart from the Lord. And in marriage, you're either growing closer toward this thing called oneness. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We're either growing closer to oneness or we're growing in
drifting apart
into isolation, which is not God's plan. It is not good for the man to be alone. So it is good for the man to be growing closer in his relationship with Jesus, to be growing closer in his relationship with his wife and kids, to be growing closer in his relationship to brothers in the Lord that can hold him accountable. And so we recognize it's easy to get complacent. And so we have to fight against that. We have to pray toward that. We have to carve time in our schedule to be together, to talk. Debbie, I think you told them how communication was so critical, mm-hmm. because we don't want to just kind of go through the motions of marriage and family without really sharing, and sharing from the heart, not just surfacey stuff. How was your day? How was the weather? You know, that kind of thing. But deeper things. How are you doing spiritually? You know, what can I do to minister to you as a husband, as a wife? What are you struggling with? What are your fears right now?
Well, and not every conversation needs to be this deep conversation,
no.
But you can't have all of them just be shallow either. So there has to be a balance,
right,
in there. You have to have both.
A good question for couples to use is this: what were your highs and what were your lows today? Let's talk through those things, because that will open up the conversation. Well, you are listening to Real Truth for today. It is Tuesday, July 19th.
Yes.
And Jeff and Debbie are here behind the microphones. We're talking about things that we have learned in 36 years of marriage to share with the next generation. And we're going to be taking your calls later. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you, but right now we're going to take a break. Don't go away.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. It's really frustrating to deal with out-of-pocket medical expenses, watching your hard-earned dollars just flying out the window. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare has a new option called MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. And it really is a community. People encourage and pray for each other. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B that fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. It's great for peace of mind. And you can use your Medicare-approved doctor and get prescription savings, dental and vision savings. Very worth looking into, and it's so easy to find out why people rave about the customer service at MediShare. They're great to talk to on the phone. Here's the number. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today, because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
This is Bible League International. Thank God your pastor wasn't attacked on Sunday, but it happened to Pastor Nepo recently while preaching in Burundi, Africa. 20 radicals dragged him down the aisle to the front lawn where they beat him nearly to death because he's been faithfully sharing the gospel with Muslims, and nearly 200 have come to Christ in his village where Christians are attacked daily.
Anyone who comes to Jesus as their Lord and Savior are easily persecuted.
In coastal India, Jayanth planted a church in a village with no Christians, and today more than half of that village follows Christ, but it did not come easy. His house was burned down twice, his wife was assaulted, and many in the church have been threatened with death, but they're not praying for an end to their suffering. They're praying for Bibles to endure and persevere. We're halfway to our goal to send God's word to 16,000 Bible-less persecuted believers, and we need to wrap up in a week. So at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20. Will you call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Well, I'm joined in the studio by my sweet and wonderful wife, Debbie. We're talking about what we've learned in 36 years of marriage. We shared last Sunday with my daughter and son-in-law's Sunday school class at First Baptist Houston about marriage and family. One generation shall praise your works to another, the Bible says, and shall declare your mighty acts. David said this in 1 Chronicles 22:5, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all lands. Therefore now I will make preparation for it." So David made ample preparations before his death. What's the principle there? Listen, younger people, when they get married, they are young and inexperienced when it comes to marriage and family. Older people who have been through the pitfalls and the difficulties and the struggles, they're able to share what they have learned so that the older generation can help the younger generation to flourish in this house called marriage. And so, as we shared with Amy and Travis's class, they had questions for us, and Debbie and I are just going through those questions. Then we're going to take your questions and comments. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. But here was one of the questions they had, just a very general question. What tips do you have for a successful marriage? There used to be a little thing in the paper in Texarkana, the Texarkana Gazette, years ago when we first got the paper, and it was a little golf tip, and they called it Tips from the Tour. And it was just a little nugget of wisdom that pros would give hacks like me and many others. But so, Debbie, tips for having a good marriage, what would you say?
Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit on the last segment, but communication is just essential. And as I shared with the class this past Sunday, you have to keep communicating until you come to an understanding. So you can't just give up. You have to push through and keep communicating. And if what you're saying is not getting through to your spouse, you find another creative way to try and get across that same message until it does connect and you do understand each other and you do get inside each other's heads and understand what the other person is feeling. And communication doesn't just happen. Sometimes it can. We talk just happens. Communication doesn't necessarily just happen. And so you have to make that a priority, and it takes energy, it takes effort, it takes time, it takes planning, it takes thought, it takes all of those things. And it's very important that you don't get lazy in your communication, because if you do, you will start to drift apart into isolation if you get lazy.
Very easy to do. Mm-hmm. And you don't notice it right at the first. It's kind of like, so we said marriage and your relationship with the Lord, very similar. So I have heard it said before, if you miss one quiet time, God notices. If you miss two quiet times, you notice. If you miss three or more quiet times in a row, other people start to notice. So it's a slow drift, a slow fade. You know, Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Well, how do you leave your first love? It's not like, well, I'm taking a hypersonic plane away from my first love. No, it's just a step at a time, little by little by little, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a robber and your need like an armed man. That's what Proverbs 24 tells us. And so it's just little by little in your relationship with the Lord, you drift away. Little by little in your relationship with your spouse, you drift away. And then you wake up one morning, so many couples do this, and the kids are grown and gone, and you're like, I'm living
Who
with a stranger.
You? Yeah. Who are you?
We haven't really done life together. Mm-hmm. We've just kind of intersected with the children, but we haven't built our relationship. And this is really important to remember. The marriage is the key. So your relationship with Jesus is obviously the foundation of everything. He's the chief cornerstone. But your marriage is the key to the family as far as it thriving. If your marriage starts to cool and you're trying to do family, it's never going to be what it should be. You're not going to teach your kids how important marriage is and how wonderful marriage is. And they'll come out, Debbie, as you and I have talked before, so many people say, well, if I get married, because a lot of them don't even want to get married today, if I get married, I don't want to have a marriage like my parents had.
Well, and I think it goes back to, you were kind of alluding to this fact, in terms of the structure of the family, the marriage has to be priority number one after the Lord, then your kids. And it's very easy in our culture that is so kid-focused and kid-prioritized, and we have all these helicopter parents and parents wanting to relive their lives through their children and be their children's best friends and et cetera, et cetera. It's so important to realize that your kids get such strength and security and sense of self from a strong mom and dad that have a strong marriage, mm-hmm. that have a steady marriage, that have a constant marriage. Not that their marriage is perfect, but that they provide that source of security in the home, because kids thrive in that environment. And so every day is your spouse going to be able to be your priority? Well, no. I mean, if you have a stomach virus ripped through your house with three or four kids, your spouse isn't going to be your priority because you're taking care of those sick children. But that needs to be the exception, not the rule. And it's very easy to get caught up in parenting and to put your spouse on the back burner. And you have to keep on the forefront of your mind that's the primary relationship, because it's when it's all said and done, it comes back to that. Because your kids, if you've done things right, they're passing through your house. Now, they may boomerang and come back for a little while, but if you've done your job, they're passing through your house and you're back to this relationship with just the two of you. And so it's so critically important to make sure that is the most foundational relationship in the house outside from it being structured on the Lord.
Well, I think another thing that's very difficult for young couples that are just having kids, little children, little toddlers and babies, they suck up so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if mom is, if she's working outside the home and coming home to all the things that she has to do, that would be so extremely hard. And husbands don't understand that very much. You know, they still want to, they desire their wife physically. And sometimes a wife, you know, just after having a baby, she doesn't think she looks very good. You know, she doesn't want the lights on with her clothes off, you know, that kind of thing. And so that can create frustrations, and she's always tired, and you know, he wants to help, but then he's, you know, what's the core problem for every person? Selfishness. You know, I want what I want when I want it. And so we can get our feelings hurt as husbands because we're not feeling like we're coming together as much as we need to. And she feels torn and I'm exhausted. I just want to sleep. And, you know, so Debbie, how did you deal with all that?
Well, it was very difficult, and that it goes back to what we talked about earlier, the importance of that communication between the two of you. And there were times when, even though I was exhausted, it was like, okay, this can't be all about me, my exhaustion right now. There's more people than just me in this relationship. And so there are just those times where you have to say, okay, it's not about me right now. I'm going to, you know, take one for the team, so to speak, you know, and that's hard to do. And it's very hard to juggle all of that and not feel like you're failing in every single area. And I hear that today a lot from young moms, because they're just so inundated with keeping up with the Joneses, but they have so much comparison that is going on in their minds and hearts because of pictures they see on social media and different things like that. They're always feeling like they're coming up short. They're not doing enough. They're not doing things correctly. Mm-hmm. And so I think you have to get to a point where you are okay in yourself with what the Lord is calling you to do. And part of that is surrendering to the Lord, and that is surrendering your selfishness. The Lord calls you to do that. He doesn't want us to be selfish. And so I think it all kind of ties in together.
Well, another tip about having a good marriage, resolving conflict is huge. So we talked about communication. You definitely have to have communication when there is an issue and a conflict that needs to be resolved. Couples that don't resolve conflict, that just sweep things under the rug, you're just creating disaster.
And isolation.
Yes, and it will get to the point where there's no more room under the rug, and things are going to come to a head, and now it's so hard to deal with it, because when the elephant was little, you could have nipped it in the bud, so to speak, but now the elephant is huge and it's taking over the whole living room, and it just can be overwhelming. So resolving conflict is key. And then just a basic one we told the class, do your job. You know, you have a job description as a husband and as a dad. You have a job description as a wife and as a mom. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He's to nourish her and cherish her. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. And protects his flesh and helps his flesh. I mean, we're protective of our bodies as far as if this hurts, we're not going to keep doing those things that hurt. And so we need to be like that with our wives. And a husband's main job is to love his wife. A wife's main job is to respect her husband. Let a wife see to it that she respect her husband. And we have said before, if a husband will do his job regardless of what the wife does, and if a wife will do her job regardless of what her husband does, then you have a oneness marriage, because the wife feels loved and the husband feels respected.
Well, you know, we get questions a lot, or I do, in terms of counseling about this issue of respect. And unfortunately, that verse in the Bible that commands wives to do that isn't a conditional command. It doesn't say if your husband's acting respectful, you respect him. If you feel like respecting him, respect him. The Bible doesn't say that. It just says, wives, see to it that you respect your husbands. And so it's important that we do that. And I think, because women think so drastically differently than men do, our brains are just wired so differently, sometimes we don't know what showing that respect looks like. We might do something, we might say something, we might have a facial expression or whatever that communicates disrespect to our spouse, and that isn't even necessarily what's in our heart, but it's received as disrespect. And so I know that we've had that happen between the two of us before. And I just learned along the way, Lord, help me see when I'm not being respectful. Even though it might be a very foreign thing to me, help me see that. So make me sensitive to that, so that if my body language indicates that, or my verbiage indicates that, or my actions, my attitudes, I want to know as soon as I do that, or even hopefully before I do that, that that's going to be received as disrespectful. Because at the core of who I am, I don't want to ever disrespect you, but I know that that happens. And so we can ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom in that area, because that's God's will for us, is to respect our husbands. So if we ask anything according to his will, he's faithful to answer that. And he'll be faithful to do that and reveal those things to you as a wife.
Well, and on a very practical note, I think it's very important for couples to keep dating. You know, after you date before you get married, then you get married. Don't stop dating. Don't stop courting. Don't stop with the romance. We have said before that, you know, when you're dating, there's not much stress. Everything's just kind of on the fun side. You're going out to dinner, you're going to movies, you're going shopping, you're doing this, you're doing that. Activities, fun things. When you get married, then real life sets in, and stress fuels selfishness. And selfishness robs the relationship of its romance. And wives love romance. And so, guys, we have to keep romancing her. We have to keep wooing her. We have to keep winning her. Even though she's won, she wants to feel like she's being pursued. And so let me just very practically have a one night a week date night, where you do something fun. Maybe you don't have a lot of extra funds, so you're like, we can't go out to dinner, it's too expensive. Then just make something together, and just, this is going to be our date night. We turn off our phones. We're just going to be together. And in those date nights, you ask, hey, how am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as a wife? You know, what's our relationship like right now? 0 to 10, 10 being the best, 0 being absolutely atrocious. Where are we? You know, and so then that just generates conversation, so you can talk through that. Okay, well, maybe you're at a 7. Well, what can we do specifically that would move us to an 8 on our relationship, so that we can meet each other's needs, so that we can really enjoy life, as the scripture says, enjoy life with the wife of your youth. And those things are very practical that you can put into place, so that your marriage doesn't stale and stagnate, and, as the old expression, sink, sit, soak, sour, and stink. You know, that's what a lot of people do in church. They just come and they don't apply. And so we need to apply these things to our marriages. Hey, good marriages just don't happen. You have to put in the work. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and my wife Debbie is with me today. And we will be taking your calls in this next segment. The number to call is 888 888- 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you about the subject of marriage and family. God wants that to be special and fulfilling in your life. Well, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
If you haven't switched to MediShare yet, two big reasons to at least consider it and why it makes so much sense right now. Number one's inflation, which is just affecting everything. It makes sense to say, okay, where can I actually save? Well, you could save a lot in one fell swoop if you switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month. Secondly, your conscience. MediShare members aren't forced to pay for things they don't support or believe in, and that's a big deal for a lot of people right now. They want their money to actually help people. And one more reason, you can trust MediShare. It's been the gold standard for healthcare sharing for more than 25 years. It works, and members love it too. It has double the customer satisfaction rating compared to health insurance. So now's a great time to consider making the switch, and they're very easy to talk to. MediShare has great customer service. You can even get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and Debbie is with me. We're talking about marriage and family, and we'll be taking your calls in this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. David said in Psalm 145, verse 4, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." We desperately need, as our generation, to share with the younger generation the things that we've learned that make for a fulfilling and thrilling relationship with the Lord and a relationship with our spouse and with our children. Life is hard. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble. Jesus said, "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world." And it is so true that people who are further along in the journey can really, really help those who are just starting out in the journey, because we know where the ditches are. We know where the pitfalls are. We know the things that, hey, watch out for this, watch out for that, watch out for the other. The book of Proverbs is primarily geared for Solomon, who was given tremendous wisdom to share with his children and with us. Hey, this is how life works, and this is what you want to do, and this is what you want to avoid. So as we said, Debbie and I were at First Baptist Houston at our daughter Amy and her husband Travis's Sunday school class, young marrieds, and we were talking about the things that we have learned in our 36 years of marriage and walking with the Lord and life and marriage and family. Well, one of the questions they asked us were not only tips for marriage and having a good marriage, but tips for raising godly children. Debbie, what are your top tips for raising godly kids?
I think one of the things that comes to my mind first, more than anything else, is to have authenticity in walking a godly life out in front of your kids. So you're not going to do everything right. But so when you mess up, you seek forgiveness from them. But kids see hypocrisy so quickly. And it's so important that you have an authentic walk with the Lord that isn't just on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or other random times that you happen to be at church with a group of people, but that you walk that out in front of them, that they see that. So when a crisis comes up, they see, okay, how do mom and dad handle this in a godly way? When there's joy, that they see that that joy comes from the Lord. When there's sorrow, they see that, hey, God walks us through the valley. We're not going to stay here. And I think that would probably be my number one tip, would just be to have an authentic relationship with the Lord yourself so that you can walk that out, not perfectly, because that's not going to be possible, but to the best of your ability, walk that out in front of your children.
Well, I heard it said this way, when you have children, best parenting advice, be the person that you want your son, your daughter to be, a person of honesty, person of integrity, a person who takes responsibility, a person who is not passive but active, a person who walks with God, a person who, not perfect, but you are striving toward a relationship with the Lord where you walk in the light as He Himself is in the light.
Well, and it goes back to also doing things God's way. Even if it doesn't make sense, you do things God's way.
Right.
You don't lean on your own understanding. You do things God's way.
And here's the thing. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, come you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is primary. That is so key. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of everything. Understanding that God is God and we're not God. We are so far from being God. We are the doulos, the slave. And our job is to serve the master. And so that is the fear of the Lord, understanding not to be afraid of God, but to understand that He is God, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who doesn't show partiality nor take a bribe. And we put ourselves in the rightful place as slave, as servant to the master. We give Him His rightful place as king. Well, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840, and we have John on the line from Louisiana. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
About the importance of premarital counseling. And did you do it with Debbie? And how long? And do you do it with other people in your church who are getting married?
Yeah, great question, John. Thank you. We did some premarital counseling. Debbie's dad married us. He's a pastor, was a pastor. He's in heaven now. So we didn't do a lot with him, but we talked to our pastor. We went through an assessment survey that I think it took us like 2 hours to fill the thing out, and I think he lost the result. I don't know if
I don't remember that either. But I think those tests really help show compatibility.
Yes.
And they help show, okay, not that you don't need to get married, but okay, you're going to have a propensity to have some trouble in this area. Just be forewarned. You know, there's some things you need to talk through. But I think premarital counseling is very, very important, and it's particularly in the culture in which we live, because people come into this concept of marriage with such different ideas about what it looks right. like.
Differing expectations. And yes, John, we do premarital counseling at our church. My partner in crime, so to speak, Chris Schroeder, Dr. Chris Schroeder, he's our teaching pastor and he's our counselor, and he always counsels couples. So we don't do any marriage at the church that we're going to officiate until a person goes through a certain amount of premarital counseling. So they understand this is what I'm getting into. Very, very important. Well, great question. Thanks for calling in. We have Roy from New Hampshire. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Jeff. I have one question. How do you counsel difficult marriages? And I'm talking about two people that have come together in marriage, but they're really not compatible. And maybe they have not gone through premarital counseling. But they are just two people that are out of sync. And maybe they should never have got married, but they're married and they're in the Lord. So how would you counsel two people? I'm not talking about a couple that's in an abusive relationship or addictive relationship. I'm talking about just two people that are totally opposite each other. How would you
Yes. Is this your situation?
Yes, it is.
How long have you been married, Roy?
I've been married 35 years.
But
here's the caveat. I travel a lot. And so a lot, you were talking about stuff that gets pushed under the rug. A lot of stuff has been pushed under the rug, and I enjoy solitude more. I enjoy solitude. I really do. And I'm the type of person that, all right, when is the next time for me to go on the road? Because I don't want to deal with this right now.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate you being honest about that, Roy, and sharing. That's a difficult situation for sure. Well, okay, you have 35 years invested. It's not like you've been in this 3 months and it's like, good grief, I made the biggest mistake of my life. When Debbie and I got married, we had she made a little cross stitch that we put on our, right at the foyer, right at the front door there. It said, choose your love, love your choice. And so, Roy, your wife was the one you chose, and so now the challenge is to love your choice. And you have maybe endured 35 years, but you know it's like, well, okay, how do I endure the rest of my life with this person that we don't seem to see eye to eye on very much of anything? We don't connect well. I would say, very, very important that you can't control her. You can't change her. The only person you can change is you. And so I would come before the Lord and just say, Lord, here's my situation. I'm very unhappy in my relationship with her. We don't seem to be compatible. If I could go back in time, you know, you just want to be honest. If I could go back in time, I wouldn't marry her. You know, if that's in your heart, but just be very honest with the Lord. Pour out your heart before him and say, but God, here is my situation. And so give me strength. Help me see her as you see her, and give me the strength to love her and be the husband you want me to be. Debbie?
And Roy, I would suggest this. I would make a list, and you may only be able to come up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things, but make a list of positive things that you feel about your wife, and put your heart and focus your attention on those things. So minimize the negative, maximize the positives. And as you do that, you'll notice the Lord will start to change your heart. You'll start to see more positives and more positives that you'll be able to add to that list. God's faithful to do that. And so often we have to, as a choice of our will, do that and ask the Lord to have our feelings match up with that. And over the course of time, that can happen. It doesn't necessarily always happen, but it most assuredly can happen, because God can work miracles in every situation. His desire is for you to have a marriage that is thriving, where you're desperately in love with your spouse. And so I would encourage you to start with that small step of just looking for 2-3 positives that you can really focus in on.
Right. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so, Roy, when you come up with those 5 or 10 things. 10 things would be great if you could come up. These are 10 things I like about my wife. And then thank God every day, twice a day, that he gave you a wife that is this way and this way and this way and this way. You know, whatever those 10 things. She's honest. She's dependable.
Well, doesn't even have to be big things. I like the way she makes brownies. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be some monumental thing, but it does take your attention off the negatives to where you're looking for positives.
Right. And here's the thing too, Roy, as you know, none of this is a quick fix. It's going to take time. You didn't get to where you are overnight. You don't get better overnight. I tell people, we're in Texarkana, Texas, right on the border of Texas and Arkansas. I tell people this. I said, listen, you come in for marriage counseling. You guys are at each other's throats. You didn't get here overnight. You're not going to get fixed overnight. But what you can do is start moving in the right direction overnight. So I use this illustration. I say, suppose I were to tell you, hey, you need to walk to California. You know, you're not going to get to California in a day or 2 days or three. It's going to take you a long time to walk to California. But what you can do is you can, leaving the office today, you can start moving west and heading west. And so as you do that, maybe you only travel a half a mile in one day. Well, that's still moving in the right direction. Well, maybe some days it's 5 miles. Maybe some days it's 10 miles. But I said to this one guy in particular, there was immorality in their relationship. I mean, it was like, this is hanging on by a thread. I said to my friend, if you will keep moving in the right direction, one day you will end up in California, and it will be wonderful. So, Roy, I'll be lifting you up to the Lord. I appreciate you so much calling in and just being so honest about where you are. And I hope that was helpful.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Bless you, right. Both of you.
God bless you, brother. Well, we have Philip from Texas on the line. Philip, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Man, you've become one of the favorites. I always used to enjoy your evening program, but now you're getting on and having interesting guests, and your advice is incredible. In fact, it's more incredible when you bring your wife on.
Oh, that's sweet.
This is my buddy Phil from Australia, isn't it?
No. South Africa. Jeff, you got it wrong. You failed. You must have failed geography at school. No, seriously, Debbie, you love what you brought there. The hypocrisy, man, kids can smell that a mile away. And if you were to ask my kids, that is one thing that they have seen us. They've always seen us united. Even when there might have been disagreement between my wife and I, after the fact, we might discuss it, but never in front of them. But they have seen us united big time. We, too, have also been married 36 years. I think you said you've been married 36?
Yeah, yes. March 15th.
All right. How's this? January 7th. So. I think on February 7th, just before Valentine's Day. But I would, like the gentleman that called before with a marriage he's not sure about that far in, I loved what you said, Debbie, just because whatever you focus on gets bigger. That was advice given to us by a missionary many years ago. And whatever you focus on gets bigger. So if you focus on the negative in your marriage or in your spouse or in your kids, that very issue gets bigger. And it will suck the life out of you. I think the old suggestion is to, you know, count your blessings one by one.
That's exactly right. Philip, we're running out of time, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but thank you so much for listening. Thank you for encouraging my heart today, and call in again another day. I'd love to talk more. This is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.